Okay, with that, why don't we get started with introductions? If Chris, you want to kick us off?
Sure. Hi, everyone. I'm Chris. Looking forward to chatting.
Cool. Vlad, you want to introduce yourself?
Hey, guys. I'm Vlad, and I'm the apps team lead at TFL. And what the apps team is building is Enterprise, which is a DAO tooling suite, and Warp, which helps automate a bunch of functions on blockchains.
Cool. MC?
Hey, good morning, everyone. This is Mark here. I work at TFL, leading partnerships, ecosystem, and community. I'd love to talk to you if you want to talk about anything Terra at all, Feather, Alliance. Yeah.
Awesome. And Terrence?
Hey, guys. Terrence here. I'm head of product at Terra, and the main product that I'm focusing on is Station, so any questions regarding Station, just directly my way.
Cool. So why don't we just kick it off? If anyone has any questions in the community about any TFL projects, the Terra ecosystem as a whole, so you know this could cover things like Alliance, which just went live. For those of you who may not have seen the announcement or the discussion on Twitter about it, Alliance went live on Terra this week. So B-Whale, AmpWhale, and R-Swift holders, which are just liquid staking tokens, if you're not familiar with Whale, which is the native token for Migaloo, as well as Swift, which is the native token for Carbon, are now stakeable assets on Terra. So these are Alliance assets that users can now stake to earn Luna yield on top of their native staking rewards for either Migaloo or Carbon. So if you'd like to check out the announcement and the staking guides that we posted about that, just check out the thread pinned to the top of the Terra Money Twitter account. I don't see any questions coming in yet, but if anyone here has any questions anywhere where you guys would like to start, feel free to just request to speak and then I'll bring you up. Anyone up here on the TFL stage have anything that they'd like to discuss with the community, any updates or anything? I mean, obviously we can talk about some of the stuff we're working on if there's no questions, but we wanted to make sure that we leave ample time for just an organic discussion about really anything that the community has top of mind, anything that they want to discuss. But is there anything that you guys would like to maybe provide an update on or anything else? Oh, it looks like we do have a question actually coming in here. First question of the space, Akshat. Can you hear us?
Hello. Hey, Zion.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine. How about you?
Good, good.
Yeah, thanks for giving the request. So, yeah, I have a few questions for the TFL folks. So as we look to onboard new users into Web3, we strongly believe that gaming is the ideal vehicle for this adoption. So I would like to ask, like, what is the take of TFL on gaming on Cosmos? And is Terra taking any initiatives to onboard gaming projects?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. So actually, I'm not sure if you heard one of the spaces that we did. I think maybe this was two spaces ago. We did a Twitter space where we had Jason from TFL come up and talk about the project that he's working on, which is called Jax, which is essentially a tool that's going to allow developers to deploy JavaScript smart contracts on Terra. And he talked about in that space gaming being a pretty interesting use case for that. And he was actually mentioning how there was, he actually has a few different friends that are looking at developing games on Terra or are building them now. So I think once Jax goes live, which I think he's looking to launch testnet within the next, I think, like maybe month or two, It might be that soon. So once that launches, I think we'll start to see some of those projects launch.
Yeah, I think I have a perspective on this as well. Look, I think it depends on what types of games you are looking to see in Cosmos and on Terra specifically. So I think you could kind of bucket them into a couple of different categories, right? Like there are a lot of teams working on tier one, kind of like, I don't know what you would call them, basically like tier one games that incorporate crypto mechanics, but try to do so in a way where you have like ownership over your items and there's an in-game economy, but it's not reliant on kind of Ponzi mechanics like this last round of crypto gaming was. And I think like it's unrealistic to think that a lot of those games are going to launch on a chain that isn't specifically optimized for gaming. So like my expectation in the industry is that a lot of those like tier one type games will launch on something like IMX, on Immutable X, or one of these other platforms that's specifically for gaming. They can have different trust assumptions because the level of security that's needed is different. The level of performance that's needed is different. And there's just like a whole different set of parameters involved in that. So like, yeah, I don't expect that we're going to see like Activision, you know, or an Activision or Electronic Arts style game launching on Terra or any kind of like general purpose blockchain. They're going to use something specialized almost certainly. But I think like the types of games that Zion is talking about are like more playful games, like maybe some arcade games that incorporate crypto mechanics or gamification of DeFi, something along the lines of, I don't know if DeFi Kingdoms is a great example, but it's the first one that comes to mind. I think those types of games you can see on Terra. And I think that's what you should expect coming out of, you know, kind of what we're building with Jax versus, you know, like a, you know, a tier one style game. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Thanks for the insights on that, Chris. So like we have been doing the same sort of thing with our own project, that is Paratopia. We have been working for more than a decade now in mobile game industry. And what we have been trying to do is like learning from the past experiences onboarding users from Web2 to Web3. So our consultants have experience working in the mobile gaming industry, you know, having over 100 million downloads. So what we were looking at specifically the Cosmos blockchain, and like we had proven strategies to onboard about 50 to maybe 40K users on a chain within 45 to 60 days of the test and delivery. So that is why we kind of, you know, looked into Cosmos and we had to work with Mark regarding that. And like thanks to the TFL, like they promised great support in terms of our infrastructure, in terms of marketing and dev. But we were kind of put down when it came to giving the funds. So like, what is the best way to secure some capital which will ensure that we can deliver this product on the Terra ecosystem?
Yeah, and look, I mean, I think the Terra ecosystem has a lot to offer, right? We have brand recognition, we have a ton of users, we have a massive community. I would say within Cosmos, you know, it's clear that, you know, our spaces will generate about 4 to 5x the attention that some of the other ecosystems would. And so, and we've got kind of like a thriving and growing ecosystem. I would say rebuilding, rethriving, regrowing ecosystem happening. And we are definitely looking to make investments in that. Now, like what I don't think you're going to get from us is us just paying people to launch on our blockchain. I think that was a last cycle game. I don't think that anyone can really justify the return on investment for something like that. So look, I mean, like ultimately what we want to build at Terra is something long lasting, sustainable. We want to make big investments, but we also want to make sustainable and smart investments. And so, you know, if we can come up with some way where we align incentives based on maybe some performance incentives based on the amount of fees generated or users added or something like that, I think that's a conversation we're willing to have, but it's not going to be, you know, we're not going to get in some kind of like BD pissing contest where we do bidding wars to get people to launch on our chain. We'll find people who see the value in it. And so, yeah, so like if you're interested in some kind of like mutually beneficial upside sharing arrangement, those are the types of deals we're looking for. But yeah, not just giving people money to launch.
Yeah, like that was sort of like our idea, because we were mostly focusing on this account abstraction layer wherein you onboard from Web2 to Web3. And does Terra offer the grant initiatives for that as well? We can have milestone-based structure for that. When we can onboard a mass wave, like we are targeting to onboard 1 million users within 3 months for Web2, and a significant chunk of that, around 30 to 50K, will be onboarded to the chain itself.
Yeah, yeah. We definitely would support grants that are incentive-based for bringing new users, retaining users, most importantly. One of the things that you'll hear me talk about a lot more is like acquiring users in crypto is easy. You launch a shitcoin, you give them shitcoin, and they show up, right? And then when shitcoin loses value, they leave. So what we really want to focus on is engaging users and retaining users. And so, yeah, like we're happy to structure a grant program or a specific grant or something like that around applications that can not only acquire users, but retain users and retain engaged users that use other parts of the ecosystem as well. So I think if that's the kind of framework you're talking about, or if frankly, if that's the kind of framework anyone in the chat wants to talk about, you know, TFL is open for business.
Yeah, thanks.
Get in touch with Mark. Yep, sounds good. And yeah, we look forward to working with you if we can figure something out.
Sure. Like I've been in talks.
It's the exact kind of product and project we want to encourage. Is really, really, you know, my focus is on usage, engagement, retention, not TVL. And so, yeah, we'd love to work with you. We just have to, like I said, we're not going to play old cycle games of making poor investments. We need to do things smartly if we're going to succeed.
Yes, as we know that Web2 retains the users in this whole sort of gaming cycle, and we have definitely learned that from the previous cycle and, you know, marking on that with a unique IP. So yeah, we are in talks with Mark, like we'll connect with you, Chris, regarding this, and we'll see how this business can sustain further. Thanks a lot.
Sounds great. Talk to you soon.
Thanks for your questions. Cool. I'll bring up the next speaker here. Vincent. Hey, Vincent, can you hear us? Vincent, can you hear us? You're on mute.
Hello, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So, hello, everyone from TFL. And then just want to say that I'm here locating in Seoul, and then we're celebrating like the super blue moon here in Korea tonight. And just wanted to ask a question about the recent domain attack, and then because I've been around the Terra community since like 2018, 2019 area, and then never had this issue of like being unsafe doing like signing a transaction, but this time felt like it's really not, I don't know, it's unsecure or not safe to just sign a transaction. So just wanted to like TFL to briefly like tell us about what happened and then what's the prevention for next attacks or
Definitely. I'm glad you brought that up because I think it's important to address, because TFL's never had I don't believe a meaningful hack where users have lost money. And I believe in this case we haven't received any reports that any users lost money in this hack as well. But let me give you a little bit of what we saw in the timeline, because the last time I got onto Spaces and talked about this, I had bad information. And so I want to clarify some of the things I said there. So what happened was, you know, we got a notice that the site was down. The team kind of jumped on it quickly, and then we realized it had been hijacked. And when we looked into it, it turns out that the domain registrar we had it on still had Doe's personal email as one of the admins on it. And even though two-factor authentication was enabled, they had been able to get access to Doe's email. They had hijacked, so the hack started with getting access to Doe's email.
and then they were able to get access to our domain. Now, what we learned later that we didn't know at the time was that they had SIM swapped DOE at the carrier level. So that's how they were able to bypass two-factor authentication. So first learning, don't leave anyone's personal email addresses on our stuff, even if they're secured by other means, right? So just take that off. That's simple and something very stupid that should have been done anyway. Second learning is everyone at TFL is moving to hardware two-factor authentication. That'll be enforced on like all of our systems levels. So that'll be in place by the end of this week, which makes, you know, SIM swap attacks impossible as well. I think a lot of us had, you know, I was kind of surprised that two-factor authentication was enabled anyway. Like I've seen, there's just countless examples of that being like the way people bypass 2FA. And, you know, I haven't seen like a, I haven't seen a successful hack where they bypass an authenticator app, or it's just super unlikely they're going to like get access to your phone or your hardware device. So that's the second learning, is everything in TFL is going to be secured by 2FA with hardware versus just leaving it open for people to choose their own two-factor authentication. All that said, no one at TFL got hacked, right? This was a DOE situation. And then even then, after DOE getting hacked, obviously, in a normal world, that would have been resolved in a day. But this isn't a normal world, and DOE's not in a normal situation. So it took us a lot longer to resolve, because we had to resolve the DOE attack without using DOE, without having access to DOE to resolve it. So that was not simple and straightforward. So I think, to, you know, the transparent answer is the stupid mistake was leaving DOE, leaving someone's personal address on this domain after they didn't work here anymore. I mean, it's that simple. Like, that's an avoidable error. I think the team did a good job. Beyond that, I think the team did a good job of kind of rallying to make sure that no one lost money. And there are a number of different things that happened, community-led efforts as well. Vinny created some kind of mnemonic generator, and we were just flooding this person. This person was not that sophisticated. I think that's another area where we were fortunate, or doesn't seem to be that sophisticated. It was actually so unsophisticated. To go back to like what I had said, my original take on this was that it was a non-economic attack, because what they did was, first they stood up this very kind of lame attempt to get people to just kind of like send them money for an ICO. And I literally thought, and the token was called Lunch. So I literally thought it was like tongue in cheek. And then they moved to try to take over our email, right? So we thought that the website thing was just a distraction while they tried to like get information from our systems. Obviously, there are a lot of people who want information from TFL right now, so we're super diligent about that. And so, you know, we were focused on making sure that even if with our email domain, they couldn't, you know, access other parts of our system. So that's why initially I thought it was like a non-economic attack. But then once I learned about the SIM swap and a couple of other things came to light, like the second attempt at hacking, which kind of stood up like a really flimsy station website. I think this was just kind of a run of the mill, extraction scheme. The hacker did reach out to us. I won't share any more details about like what they said or what they wanted. But I think the team did a really good job, and I think the killer move that just kind of like ended the whole thing in terms of like this person being able to make any money was, you know, they quickly implemented something on this, on your station extension, which kind of hijacked back the website immediately. So you would go and look, I mean, the reality is we don't have that many people like going to use station.money that don't have the station extension installed. You know, we're not in like user expansion mode where people are just like Googling for Terra and like, oh, I'll go try out Station right now. And so the vast majority of people who would ever use a Station website had that extension involved, and it kind of disabled the website. So yeah, that's the story on what happened. Almost like with almost all of these hacks, I've yet to see like the super sophisticated one. Maybe there have been some coming out of like Lazarus or something like that. You know, the common sense answers are the ways to keep yourself safe. Like we already know how to avoid this. We already knew how to avoid this, but you know, we're going to have some people come in. We're going to do all of like the, or not we're going to do, we are doing all of the things, you know, housekeeping to just like make sure internal systems are safe now. And then we'll have someone come in and do a third party review to make sure that that process and everything was in place, because we thought we had all the, I thought, and this is all on me, right? This is all my responsibility. I thought those domains were already secured. But this, you know, having those personal email on it was an oversight. So does that answer your question?
Yeah, it did. Thanks, Chris, for your answer. And then just wanted to end with like, thank everyone to like, not just domain, but every like TFO members and then lunatics to stay safe and stay strong. And then I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, thanks, brother. Appreciate the question.
Thanks for coming on, Vincent. All right. I'll bring the next speaker up here. All right. Akujiro. Not sure if I'm saying that correctly. Can you hear us? You're on mute, Akujiro. Do you have a question? Oh. You unmuted there for a second, but then you're back on mute now. Okay, well, maybe while they figure out their mic situation, we will bring the next speaker up here. Mr. Rebel DeFi, how are you?
What's up, guys? I was just looking at everyone's Twitter accounts here and noticed that Vlad, instead of having a moon, he's got a snowflake. So I would like to know what that means. And the follow-up question would be, and why does Chris not have any emoji? Two questions, please.
Yeah, so it's pretty simple. It's a snowflake because I'm from Canada. And Canada is cold.
And my answer is because I'm a boomer and I just don't spend a lot of time on emojis. I'll get one up there though. Good feedback.
Short and sweet. And can we see last comment and then I'll drop down. Can you give us a wave emoji if you are going to Cosmoverse? Oh no, Terrence, are you not going?
Still kind of, I think I just got a baby, so need to see when the situation looks out.
Cool. Look forward to seeing everyone there or everyone who's going there. See ya. Bye.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing you as well and everyone else. I saw a lot of people in the chat that are going, so, and a lot of people that I've never met before in person. So looking forward to seeing everyone. And Terrence, that baby will be around for like 18 years, man. You'll have plenty of time. Get on the flight. Okay, so yeah, anyone else lined up?
Yeah, yeah, we have some other questions. And then there's also excellent. Some questions in the, we'll try Akujiro again here. And then if the mic isn't working, then we'll go to the questions that we have.
Hey, let me give, I can give a quick, you know what, I think we should, I think I should give a quick update on Doe, just so people know. Like
that was one of the questions actually, so.
Yeah, that's what I saw in the chat, so. So here's the thing, like, I think I've explained this before, but it doesn't hurt to do it multiple times, just given how critical he is and how much everyone here cares about what's going on with him. You know, first and foremost, like no one at TFL knew kind of what he was up to, right? And nor just to get off, like, do we know if any of like the allegations against him are true? Like, I don't know if which airport he showed up to. I don't know what passport he had, you know, like all that stuff. Like we just don't have any insight into any of that. Once he was arrested, you know, TFL had to have communications with him to install a new board and to install me as CEO. like whatever he had planned and whatever he was doing, he knew that that would be that I would be the one left to kind of take over if something were to happen. So that wasn't a super controversial process to pull off. It was just a long and tedious process because it was hard to get to him and he had other things to worry about and all that stuff. So that was kind of the extent of our conversations with him, or like our interactions with him. I wouldn't even say conversations. I haven't spoken to him directly. You know, the other thing I would just say, the last thing that happened just over the last couple of months was I just sent him a note to let him know that, because he has no access to internet. I just sent him kind of like a brief handwritten note just to let him know that TFL's fine. Terra's fine. Everyone supports him and is thinking about him, and to just kind of focus on himself. And we'll take care of business while he's gone. And I got back a brief note that just said that it was a huge relief to hear. You know, he had no clue if TFL had just dissolved. He had no clue if Terra had imploded. So he said it was a huge relief to him to hear that everything was fine. And he just wanted to, you know, send his best to everyone and said, good luck. I know you guys will do great. And not to worry about him, that he's doing as well as he can under the circumstances. So that's all the communication I've had with Doe. Nothing business related. I literally can't talk to him legally about business stuff because, you know, he's independent from the company now. We're an independent entity, but just, I did want to share that, thought with you guys. You know, like what we do, it meant a lot to me. It meant a lot to TFL, our employees, to know that, you know, there's not a lot we can do to help him now. But if, you know, kind of carrying things on at least gives him peace of mind, you know, it's something that counts for something. So that's the update with Doe. I have no involvement with his legal defense. We have no insight into what's happening with his legal defense. I likely will find out about it in the news the same time you do. We keep a pretty strict wall between his personal stuff and the business stuff, because that's what we need to do right now. So if you don't get updates from us, I've seen people calling to, you know, people saying, you know, why doesn't everything start off with Doe? And I understand that sentiment. But if you don't hear that from us, it's because it's not practical from a legal perspective to do that, nor is it something he would want us to do. So he has legal counsel. Him and his family have what they need to get through this, I believe. So, but it's not something we can just like continue to address over and over because we don't have any more information than you do.
Cool. Hopefully that was helpful for people here. Why don't we take one of these questions from the chat, and then if other people here have questions, you can request to speak, and then we'll bring you up in the meantime. But this question, maybe Mark, you could talk a little bit about this one. It's related to Alliance. So they're asking, can you talk about partnerships with other chains in regards to alliances?
Yeah, for sure. So, Thanks for the question. But at this point of time, just to set the stage, we know for a fact the following four chains have already integrated the Alliance module. You have obviously Terra, you have Megaloo and Carbon, and finally Kujira. So of these four chains, only three have actively used the Alliance module. Kujira has pretty much just integrated the module, but there's not whitelisted any assets yet. And, you know, based on the signaling proposal that we put out, that's passed, I mean, and has already been implemented by us. We actually have incentives for the first 10 chains that integrate the Alliance module and whitelist a Luna LST with a positive view. The Terra community has elected to assign a portion of our inflation rewards, like 3%. The target rate is 3% to these chains. Well, so even with this incentives on right now, like we've actually spoken to many different foundation teams I know of another chain that has signaled that they will be integrating modules pretty soon. I think we have like open conversations with at least 10 to 15 other chains on Cosmos about integrating their LIS module. But at this point of time, this is the progress that we've made so far. Some community members have stepped up to try to brainstorm on how we could also potentially approach this from a bottoms-up angle in terms of adoption. I think we will have updates for you on that front in a couple of weeks as well.
Yeah, one of the ideas, what I'd like to also see is Alliance DAO should be coming soon. We were so kind of blown away by the response to Alliance DAO that the reason why we're a little delayed there has nothing to do with like our ability to spin up the DAO. It has more to do that we wanted to go back to the drawing board on the art. It just wasn't good enough. It didn't kind of meet the occasion. So we're coming up with something really cool and interesting. It won't be kind of like your normal PFP pick. It'll be more of actually, I'm not going to spoil any of it. I'll let Evan come on and talk about it here in a couple of weeks. But I think it'll be kind of like a new twist on, I think the DAO itself and the mechanisms will be a new twist with the NFT. And I think the NFT itself will be a new twist on like kind of enabling creativity and storytelling and all kinds of fun stuff. But one of the other things I want to do is once Alliance DAO is spun up, if it can effectively organize itself, come up with like more additional incentives to give Alliance DAO if they can go out and drive bottoms up adoption of Alliance. So like make Alliance DAO, you know, give Alliance DAO work to do and rewards for doing it, which would be really interesting. Also, when Mark talks about, you know, 10 to 15 chains being in the pipeline, you know, you got to think of a pipeline as kind of like a funnel, and the farther down they get, the more likely they are to implement. We've said previously we have 3 chains or potential chains considering Feather already. So obviously, any Feather chain would come out of the box with Alliance enabled as well. And we expect, based on conversations with those chains, assuming that we can get them going, you know, that they would be good alliances. So we still want to target 10. We want to have 10 with assets whitelisted by the end of the year. So if you can help, let us know. I think, you know, just the other thing to kind of flag to people, because I don't know like how widely known it is, but like Terra is like developing an entire suite of tools and products that we will offer for free for chains that have a net accretive alliance. And we have to determine like how much of a net accretive alliance, but like that have some kind of net accretive alliance with Luna, meaning that like the rewards they generate are meaningfully more than just like a swap with the rewards that we direct. And that involves running their infrastructure, all of their public infrastructure. It involves tools that we can launch on their chain, free wallet, free blockchain explorers. It really allows them to bootstrap an entire tool set without having to spend the upfront cash they would normally have to try to attract a wallet provider or a blockchain explorer and everything like that. So, you know, if you're out there having conversations with other chains that you're a part of, that's really like a selling point, right? Because ultimately, like the idea behind economic alliances, if you bring them back to like real economic alliances and trade agreements, is that there's an exchange of value. Like when you make, you know, like NATO, for example, there are things that Mexico can produce and export better than the US can produce internally, and vice versa. And that's ultimately kind of like the kind of idea behind economic alliances and alliance as well, that it's not just I direct rewards to your token, you direct rewards back to my token. It's eventually what it needs to grow to be is it can different ecosystems produce different tools and services and products that are useful to other ecosystems, and there can be an exchange of value over those, and a mutually beneficial exchange of value that increases economic activity for both chains. in the most efficient way possible. And so, like, that's the end state for this. I think that, there are so many use cases for Alliance beyond that as well. That's one of the end states for this. And that, you know, that's something that'll take longer to develop, but it's something everyone, you know, if you're out there pitching Alliance, should keep in mind, is that Terra has this group, this set of tools that are kind of, that we've learned how to build through our scale, our history, our experience that we can offer as part of an Alliance.
Cool. Thanks for the question there in the chat. I think, you know,
hey, one other thing on that, actually, let's address Feather real quick as well. I talked in the past, like, what the business model would be on that. We're tweaking that a little bit and we'll have more information. Like, it was good to get, like, a business model for Luna, like a value accrual mechanism for Luna out there for everyone to kind of hear. We've gotten feedback on it. And so we're going to continue to iterate, hopefully more on that soon. But just one thing to note, like, we've talked about Feather a lot. I think people are really excited for Feather. I just want to flag for everyone, that is an extremely complicated product from a technical perspective. And so it's like, it's not like just launching a protocol or something like that. And so, you know, we need to be careful. We need to be patient with how we roll that out. And so just to keep in mind, like, if it feels like that's moving slower than you would like, it's because it's not the type of product that can have bugs. And it's incredibly complex, especially with all of, like, the validator coordination and the automation of that. So just keep that in mind. So, you know, you'll hear us keep talking about, like, we have one chain, we have two chains, we have three chains. I think the next good milestone that you can see from TFL that's like measurable progress on that would be, like, launching one on a testnet. Like publicly launching a testnet. And so, Mark, do you have a timeline on that? I can't remember exactly when we were hoping to get that done, but I think we should communicate a timeline here, and then everyone can come beat us up if we don't hit it.
Okay, if we were, well, Chris, you're putting me in the spot here, but if we were going to commit to a timeline, I would say, let's see what month is it. By end of October, we should be able to have at least one chain launch with Feather.
Yeah. Okay, so end of October. If we don't hit that, everyone knows how to get in touch with Mark. I'll share his address in the chat.
Yeah, please send some funds over.
Awesome. All right. Sorry, let's go to the next question.
Okay. Let's see if there's any other. That was a question about Alliance DAO, one of them in here, but I think Chris just kind of addressed that one. That we're currently working on the art for that, improving on that, and then we'll be launching that relatively soon. Let's see if there's any other questions in the chat. If anyone else has any questions, by the way, that's in the space, just request to speak. I'm just going through to see if there's any other questions here. Okay, so here's one question for Vlad. When Enterprise DAO multi-chain?
Oh, good question. So we actually just submitted our enterprise cross-chain contracts to SCB Security for an audit. So the contracts are ready. They're coded in. Proof of concept has been done. So now we're just getting that audit finished up. And we're finishing up on our UI side. And that, all said and done, should be ready by the end of September. So coming up super soon.
Nice. Okay, there you have it. September. We'll send you Vlad's address as well if we don't meet that. Okay. We have another question here on Luna Burn. What immediate steps are we, I'll just paraphrase it. What immediate steps are we doing to burn Luna?
I should probably take this. The best way to talk about this. So, like, like every product that TFL builds will be in service of Luna, right? Like the last time around, we launched other tokens. We're not going to do that anymore. In my mind, like as long as I'm here, the only reason we exist is to build the Terra ecosystem and create utility for Luna. We have a lot of different things that are going to do that, right? And mechanisms in the work after we get adoption on our products that will do that as well. I think like the very first example of that is Warp Protocol, right? Where all of the fees are burned. People have rightly pointed out, I think Rebels pointed this out, like if you're going to talk about like Warp Protocol burning fees, you should also just be clear that like the volume of fee burn is very low right now, like incredibly low. And it is because it doesn't have that much of adoption yet, right? Like we've just gone to three different chains. We're still incorporating features that teams on those chains want. And so like we've just proven it out. It works. There is demand. It has product market fit. And now we have to scale it. But like the amount of burn from that is not going to like create any fundamental like value for Luna in the short term, right? It's setting up. The whole point is number one, to build products that people want to use. And then number two is to set up opportunities for burn when a bull market happens. And what I want to just kind of like be clear with everyone on is like, I don't know of anything in crypto, specifically in Cosmos, that is generating fundamental value during a bear market, right? It just doesn't, that's just not how our industry works right now. There's not enough usage. And it's just everything that we do and everything in crypto when you're involved in it is about like setting up things for the very long term, right? And so like the longer the vision, the longer it's going to take to pay off on the vision, the more speculative the proposition is, right? And so, yeah, long story short, that's one. There will be other burn mechanisms in enterprise once we realize like farther, fuller, more of the vision on it. There will be burn or value accrual mechanisms in Station. And I can talk a little bit about where we are with Station. We have a lot of products kind of in the pipeline at POC stage that have the opportunity to drive a lot of utility to Luna and utility to the Terra blockchain. But yeah, there's no specific initiative, I think, that's going to just like, you know, set millions of Luna on fire in the short term in a bear market. That's just not how this thing works, right? As a build market, we build things that have the potential to do that in a bull market. But you know, ultimately a bet on Terra and ultimately, frankly, a bet on crypto is that the teams that survive the bear market build things that will be incredibly useful and have a ton of utility value in a bull market. I don't know if that answers your question. I also don't know if you're looking for like fundamental burn things or if you just like want some kind of like Ponzi burn mechanics or something like that. But yeah, that's how I think about it.
Cool. Why don't we bring up, it looks like Vincent has, there we go. Vincent, can you hear us?
Hello. Hey. Sorry for asking one more question, but can we also get an update on Station and then especially on mobile? Because, I mean, it's not for everyone, but I don't usually carry my laptops around. So, and then I have to sign transaction for time to time. So I want to get a quick update on Station. Thanks.
Yeah. Let me give a high level and then Terrence can give like the more detailed, like mobile specific. I've had this conversation with, forgive me if we've already done this in like another spaces, but I'll just do it again. Look, I just like, the high level analysis of everything that's happened with Station is, I think Station One was incredible. I think we had a whole group of people who just felt like the experience, they were delighted by the experience of using Station compared to other applications. When we launched V2, we wanted to take it cross-chain. I think we seriously underestimated the complexity of how to make that a stable and enjoyable experience. I think we made a major strategic error in relying on other people's infrastructure to power our wallet, which basically meant that anytime someone else's infra was down, it looked like Station didn't work. And frankly, like, as Station transitioned, I'm going to get deep in the weeds here, from being kind of like a one-man hero show, like one developer who had like built the entire thing from scratch and knew the code inside and out. Like, we didn't, as it transitioned to be more of a team effort that would scale over time, we underestimated like the amount of work that needed to go into refactoring that code in a way that more than one person could work on it. And that's ultimately why I think Station V2 was a failure, and why for months at a time, I wouldn't even use it. Because it would just frustrate me and piss me off. We've kind of reorganized how we think about that. We're not all the way done. We still need to move Station over to run off of Foundation. I talked about Foundation in our last chat. So if you want to learn more about that, you can go listen to the last spaces. But Station is.
Did we lose Chris? Can you guys hear me?
Can you guys?
Yeah, he cut out.
Hey, where did I cut out?
For me, it was like maybe the last, like maybe two sentences ago.
Okay. So anyway, so what I was saying, I think I you probably heard me say that the last piece of getting Station more stable is moving it over to Foundation. And you can learn more about Foundation from our last chat. Station will be the first customer for Foundation. But then, you know, I think once that's done, like the stability, the most important thing to me was just making it work right again, just making it reliable. And I think like I've been using it a lot over the last couple of months, and I think we've solved a lot of those issues. There will always be bugs in these Web3 applications, just given the nature of how like immature all of the infrastructure is. But the experience has been a lot smoother from the perspective of just knowing that if you're going to go in and use it, it's going to fucking work, right? That was the first thing we had to fix. Now, the second thing we have to fix is the UX and UI around cross-chain. I'm kind of amazed, and we can't take any credit for this, but like just the pace of the acceleration of cross-chain abstraction in Cosmos right now is stunning. Like Cosmos, I think, has all kinds of issues and like weird cult leaders and shit like that going on. But man, IBC is really like it definitely feels like IBC is achieving its vision in a way, right? With the stuff that's being built on it, whether it's TFM or Skip protocol or just like the level of abstraction, packet forwarding, middleware, IBC hooks, like the level of abstraction that's possible now. I mean, it's like a step change function from even where it was like 2 to 3 months ago, especially where it was a year ago when we launched Station V2. So Station V3 will be focused on bringing that Station design, that Terra design, the look and feel, the ease of use, applying kind of like our product management skills to a wallet in a way that takes advantage of all of this abstraction and just makes wallets a joy to use again. Those designs are done. I think we're probably a couple of months away. Terrence can give an update on that. We're a couple of months away from having like the full implementation ready to go. But I'm really excited for it. It's going to happen soon. And I think Station will once again be the greatest wallet in crypto.
Vincent, I think we can expect to see like the new version of Station mobile extension sometime mid-November, early to mid-November. And I think in the past, like the mobile app used to be like you know, not the main app. People kind of focused on like using extension, but what we see that like mobile usage is going to become more and more prevalent. So we have focused a lot of effort in like redesigning and making the mobile app better. So it's going to be a first-class citizen. We'll have full interchange support on mobile. And I think the issue right now with mobile is that we're kind of still using Wallet Connect V1, which is kind of almost deprecated. So when we kind of upgrade to V3, we'll support Wallet Connect V2, and that will work across all the apps you love, like Astroport and so forth. So yeah, just a little patience, and we'll make sure that whatever we launch is going to be great.
Cool. Does that answer
Terrence and Terrence? Well, I think Vlad and Mark have given a timeline. Terrence, what's your timeline?
Yeah, so the timeline is November, mid-November. So there's like various parts to it. There'll be extension, our web app, and also mobile app.
Cool. Awesome. Vincent, any other thoughts, or did that answer your question?
That answers everything. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, awesome. Okay, it looks like Akujiru is requesting again. We'll try one more time to get him up here, and then if not, we can call it, because we're pretty close on time here. Akujiru, can you hear us?
Yeah, hey.
Hey, we got you.
Yeah, nice. Thanks again. Sorry, Twitter rocked me, and now I'm on my phone, so it's working.
Cool. You have a question?
Yeah, I have a question. Chris was talking before about projects that one might talk about with TFL, partnerships or collaborations. Who is the best person to contact regarding that?
That's Mark Chan, MC up at the top.
MC,
Yeah, so follow him and get in touch. Again, like, hey, we're here to support. If you can bring users, if you can bring engagement, if you can bring fun things for the community to do, I think there's an opportunity to be rewarded very handsomely for that.
Yeah, definitely.
Look forward to working with you, hearing your idea.
Yeah, looking forward to it. It's more about what I think is like missing right now is onboarding new users or bringing like crypto applications more into the mainstream. Because right now, everyone is kind of stealing liquidity from other chains on Cosmos, and it's kind of like a tug of war currently, and it's kind of like, yeah, that's exhausting, you know, like bashing other chains and then like, oh yeah, and that's way better there. So I guess, yeah, everyone could profit from new liquidity entering.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think there are two things there that I would comment on. Number one, I agree, right? Like, right now, the liquidity just kind of rotates around to whoever's paying for it, and then it leaves, right? Like, you guys remember Kanto? That was a thing for a while. On to the next one, on to the next one. There's no new investment entering the system. Look, I think one part of that is just a function of the macro environment, right? Like, when interest rates go up, people are less willing to take long-term risks, and a bet on crypto is a bet on the long term, right? But if I can get, you know, 5% by just like easily moving the money from my checking account to a money market account, like that's a pretty compelling return for people who have a lot of money. And so look, there's a macro aspect to that only lower interest rates or time, either time or lower interest rates. So either lower interest rates where people are more willing to invest in vision and long-term returns, or the other way to solve that is with real adoption in crypto and use cases that people can believe in now. That shortens the time horizon on when they think they're going to see a return on that investment. And so that's something we need to work on as well. And so I agree with you. Like, there are two things here, right? And I think crypto needs to solve both of them, right? One of them is like getting more capital in. And ultimately, well, we could talk about this in the next one. I've been thinking about this a lot. Even going back, I've got some old Doe quotes I can share. But ultimately, you know, for crypto to really scale in terms of TVL, it's going to have to plug into the real world in some way. Like if it's just a casino for crypto native products, it's got a ceiling. Unless those crypto native products are capturing some kind of real world economic activity. And so there's not only like, how can we get more assets into the ecosystem? How can we get more liquidity in? There's also like another way I would challenge people to think about it is, and I think I can't remember his name, but the first person we spoke to here who's building a gaming application is, how can you get more non-speculative use cases in? How can you create usage that doesn't rely on people either making or having to risk money? And those are some of the things that we're focused on right now as well. So beyond just attracting, and that's why you keep hearing me say, like, you know, TVL is great. We can get TVL in eventually at some point. Right now, the only way to get TVL is to pay people for it. And the amount you pay is not worth the amount you get. So it's not really a great investment. But that doesn't mean we can't get users in. So like, those are the applications I want to focus on. We have a list of projects that we wish we had time to build as well. So it's not only like, you know, if you have a project and you want to launch on Terra, get in touch with us. Like if you want to build, but you're not sure what it is you want to build, you should get in touch with us as well, because we're already collaborating with a couple of other devs who have gotten in touch, and they're helping us build out POCs and other things that are going to turn into real activity on the Terra blockchain, guaranteed. And we've got plenty more. Like the space for innovation here, the amount of interesting things that can be done is basically unlimited. And we finally like got that list in place and the priorities in place, and can help teams that want to take on one of these projects as well. We even have some that are like 70% built, just waiting to go. I see some of the people on this chat that helped build them. You know, get in touch. Yeah, we can help you launch your own project, or we can seed you with the project, or we can potentially even hand you some code.
Definitely sounds great. And I would also like to, I couldn't agree more with what you said. And I would also like to commend TFL, because you're building for the long term. It's not fleeting liquidity that's happening here. You have a long term plan, you're building towards it. The growth after what's happened is slow, but I really like that it's organic and that it keeps growing, because it shows in the spaces that you're holding and in the community itself. It's really great. I like it. So props to that.
All right. I just followed you. I love everything you just said, because yeah, that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. Like there are no, look, I can get into this again a little bit later, but after everything that happened with TFL, the only thing that could happen, I told the team, the only thing that could make it worse is if it happens again, like we build something unsustainable. And so, yeah, we'll grow slow and people will leave because it isn't satisfying kind of like their urgent need. But whatever we build will last, or at least some of it will. Some of it will fail. But so, yeah, but, you know, if, you know, Terra's a place where you're going to have to be patient, because I'm not running this back and doing the same thing over again. I refuse to do that. So I appreciate that sentiment, and I'm glad that's coming through in these chats. Cheers, guys. I got to go. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. Why don't we bring up Ray here, because I promised him on Telegram that I would get his question here. So why don't we take his, and then we will close it off for the day. Ray, you have a question?
Hey. I just had a follow up with you guys talking about Station. I wanted to know MetaMask snaps and some of that integration is starting to heat up, and we're seeing Leap and Shade, and I'm sure Kepler is going to come out with it, I think, this month. So is the snaps and integration kind of being able to use how do we want to say Station cross chain like that? Is that something that's going to make it into Station V3?
Not at the moment. So like I think what like Leap has done and everything, like with MetaMask Net, they usually create like a web app, and that's how like MetaMask users can kind of interact with the Cosmos. I think UX-wise, it's still not the best. On our side, we're just going to focus on getting Station in a place where, you know, it has the best user experience for the Cosmos. And after that, of course, we do have some plans to think about how we can expand like Station to be used outside of the Cosmos. So I think you guys can look forward to that further down the road. Right now, we're just like laser focused in getting V3 out, and V3 equals best user experience in Cosmos. You can expect chain extraction, fee extraction, sending stuff to be easy. And maybe you can use Station with any dApps across the Cosmos as well. I think that's something that's been missing. And you know, one day Station might be able to be used in Osmosis, Injective, and so on. So yeah, look forward to that.
Cool. Thanks for the question, Ray. Awesome. Well, I'd like to thank everyone here who came up as a speaker and participated in the discussion. It was awesome to have all you guys on. Also wanted to thank everyone who listened in live. So this is recorded. So those who may have joined later, you can listen back on Twitter or via your favorite podcasting platform when TerraSpaces, which is, if you guys aren't familiar with TerraSpaces, you should follow them on Twitter because they record every space that happens within the Terra community, and they post them across all major podcasting platforms. So you can listen, you can stop them, you can rewind them, you can, you know, listen back to all these spaces, which is a really nice service that they do for the community. So definitely follow them, and you can listen back to this space once they post the recording there. If you're interested in staking Alliance assets on Terra, like I said, just check out that thread that's pinned to the top of the Terra Twitter account. There's some helpful resources there. And yeah, thank you, everyone. And see you guys next time. Bye-bye. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works. And we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ends dragging out the max amount of payments. Red down days got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics. They probing this bear, flexing broken honest. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting otters. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known the politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom over impossible loss. It's all moss and I'm liking the odds. Fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap, though the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary falls. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works. And we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of DNA stacked in non-toxic just to get a better place. Smacking on the hostage like this shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines. They call it implausible when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Beats tearing apart your community. All these low-hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10, stargazing after the siege. Commanding all the management to grab a few seats, and then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats, and if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, say and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Spaces.